You don't separate hope and holiness. That's the whole point of Peter's epistle, is where there's true hope, holiness must be associated or attached to that. So what the Holy Spirit does over and over again is explain this in different ways. When you know your destination determines your direction.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. Thankful that you joined us here today, and we're trusting that as you open up God's Word alongside of us, that your hearts would be radically transformed by the revelation of God's truth. That's our real heart today, even as we begin a brand new series in 1 Peter. And with me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie. And Robbie, are you excited? Are you excited we're going into this brand new series?
Yeah, I really want our listeners to know and be reminded again, the reason that we're on this program right now is not ultimately for information, but we're praying for transformation. And that's why the Bible was written. That's why 1 Peter was written, writing to a group of believers struggling and suffering through life, but to inform them, to see them transformed. And that's why I love the Word of God and love unpacking it verse by verse. And that's exactly what we're going to do today, that God wants to point us to His hope to result in His holiness within our lives. So where are you today? Do you find yourself in a place needing to hear of hope? Well, you're in the right place. Are you find yourself in a place today wanting to know the path of holiness, of seeing Christ and His joy seen through your life, but only by His grace? Then you're also in the right place today. So stick with us. In 1 Peter, the power of God's Word transforming the lives of God's people, expectant and ready for God to, again, inform us, ultimately, to transform us. May it be so.
All right, here we go. Verse by verse through 1 Peter. It's a series we're calling Hope and Holiness. And we begin right at the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 1, and here now is Robbie.
This is the Word of God, alive and active. This is what leads us all the time. This is why I'm so excited to be in this series, like every other series, is because we open up God's Word. And every time we open up God's Word, God moves in that by His Holy Spirit. Here's our series title, Hope and Holiness. 1 Peter, Hope and Holiness. And our tagline is, when my destination determines my direction. So again, I'm pretty excited about this series because I'm excited about this epistle. And really, I'm excited about the opportunity that is found within 1 Peter. And the reason for this is because 1 Peter really is, well, it's great. It's so great. It's so packed with so many aspects of life in Jesus Christ and for the church. 1 Peter first is a letter of encouragement written to believers who are trying to hang on, who need to, you know, hear the encouragement to say, don't give up. 1 Peter is a letter of perseverance, guiding believers to go through trial and hardship when life is hard. Anyone like that here right now? There's way more than that, I think, but it is exciting, I hope. It's also a letter of power. It's a letter of power written to strengthen, weaken believers in this good fight of the faith. Anyone need strength here today? Anyone need strength? Amen. Amen. If you don't need strength, come talk to me. I need your secret, all right? All right? All I got is the Lord, man. I got nothing on my own. And so most of all, though, 1 Peter is a letter of hope. And it's a letter of holiness. And we're going to see those two things. You don't separate hope and holiness. That's the whole point of Peter's epistle, is where there's true hope, holiness must be associated or attached to that. So what the Holy Spirit does over and over again is explain this in different ways. When you know your destination determines your direction. That's very simple, but I say it's quite profound. For instance, when you're going to the grocery store and it's over here, you don't turn around and walk this way. When you need food, you go towards your destination. It determines your direction. When you have to go to the hospital, you don't take a U-turn and go to the movie theater. You need the hospital to make you better or healthy, right? When you're away out of the country and you need to get back to home to Toronto, you don't board a plane for Winnipeg. No offense, Winnipegians, all right? You board a plane for Toronto. If that's your destination, you must go in the direction of your destination. This is what Peter is explaining to this church, the churches that he writes to. When your destination is hope, then your path will be the highway of holiness. He's so convinced, Peter is so convinced as to glory, as to salvation, as to hope. He says, if you really have hope, then you must live like you have hope. And you will follow the path of holiness that guides us towards hope. Five chapters, really, it's let glory be your guide. Let the reality of hope be the fuel for holiness. And whenever we jump into an epistle like this over several weeks, we've got to get some context together because it really helps us understand and interpret God's word as we know the intended audience to which Peter was writing to. Again, Christianity in the first century when this letter was written was, again, tough. But what's exciting is lives were being radically transformed by the gospel. I mean, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they were at work. And people were going from death to life, and lives were so dramatically being transformed that people were taking notice. In fact, in the context of 1 Peter, lives were so transformed it caused neighbors, friends, and relatives to actually become upset with the transformation they saw taking place. Maybe you can relate to that right now. Maybe your life has gone under such transformation, people around you are like, what happened to you? And in fact, I don't like what's happened to you. That was going on in 1 Peter. It's interesting, so many believers were sold out for Christ, they were deemed at times as antisocial or even subversive. So this radical transformation began to threaten people on the outside. It made them uneasy. It brought conviction upon their lives. You know when that happens? When we become salt of the earth or the light of Jesus Christ, some people love it, some people hate it. And they're threatened because they see transformation. All of a sudden, your transformation brings guilt upon them because all of a sudden you are separate from them because you are moving towards Christ. They are standing still where they are. This is what's happening in 1 Peter. And what will happen at those times is when people get threatened and suffer from conviction and they're uneasy with what Christ is doing, they will then persecute often because they don't know how to handle the reality of the light that is shining upon their lives. In fact, the unbelievers relating to the recipients of Peter's letter were trying to actually stop the transformation. Here's what one commentator said about the audience. One commentator said, in almost every region, Christians appear to have faced their neighbors' attempts to rehabilitate them, to cajole them and pressure them back into a more acceptable, I mean, that's so our world, isn't it? Here it is, a more acceptable way of life. So this is what we're walking into right now as we understand the context of 1 Peter. I find that so fascinating. So the unbelievers were saying to the believers essentially, your transformation threatens me, but now I'm going to try to change you back. And of course, as a result of that, hardship, sufferings, and persecution would come. Now, let's just take a quick time out right now. Maybe there's a lot of you here right now, and your life has been radically transformed by the gospel. And you felt opposition. I mean, what happens is when we are radically transformed in Christ, I remember being there, we're like, I gotta tell everyone because this is life. I was dead, now I'm alive. And you're expecting people to come up and be like, yeah, right, that's so awesome. And some people might, but reality is, according to the parable of the four soils, the majority does not. And in fact, some become hostile. I specifically remember being in university the first year I was saved, and I had a radical transformation. I was so outspoken for the gospel and Jesus Christ. I remember a friend coming up to me. We were standing there in this social setting. I remember she said to me, I like the old Robbie better. Well, you know what? He's dead, all right? He's been crucified with Christ. So long I live, Christ lives in me. But this is one of the realities. This is what happens. So maybe you're here right now and you can take encouragement from the fact that your life is causing others to be threatened. You're not trying to offend them purposefully, but the reality of truth in Jesus Christ, it will. Then you relate to what Peter is saying and to whom he is writing to. So what Peter does, he says, yeah, it's going to be tough. There's going to be suffering, but he provides encouragement, pointing them to this, pointing them to hope. Pointing them to holiness. So just to prove my point of hope and holiness, I want to do a quick survey of 1 Peter to whet your appetites. I'm going to turn to a whole bunch of verses in the letter of 1 Peter just so you see where we're going and how amazing this letter actually is. So let me start with chapter 1, verse 3, okay? And here's what I'm doing. I want to show you hope and holiness all throughout 1 Peter so you know that this series title is bang on, okay? Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Peter says, I'm going to read fast because a lot of verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living... Hope, yes, hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. See, hope, hope, hope. Hope is everywhere. Look at verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is hope there. There is holiness there. Look now at verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hope, hope, hope. Look at verse 13 of chapter 1. And here we see the holiness now. Therefore, preparing your minds for actions and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope, hope, hope. And now notice in verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy. See, because you've been saved, because of the hope, because of the glory that's coming, because of the salvation that's going to be revealed, he's like, now live like it. And living like it means be holy like it. You shall be holy, for I am holy, he says. Look at chapter 1, verse 22 now. Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again. There's the hope, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. Hope, hope, hope. Now live like it. Chapter 2, verse 1. So put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy, all slander. See, holiness, 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 like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up to salvation if indeed you taste the Lord is good. Hope and holiness, holiness and hope. Chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness to his marvelous light. Hope and holiness right in there. Verse 11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, hope, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, holiness, which wage war against your soul, holiness. Chapter 3, look at this, even in marriage, there's hope and holiness. Chapter 3, verse 2, this is for wives. Wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct, when your husbands see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external and braiding of hair, wearing gold, putting on clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which God thinks is so precious. See that, ladies, right there? Wives, you see that? The idea of holiness in your marriage is rooted in the imperishable beauty that is only found in the hope of the gospel. Even your desire to be an amazing wife in Christ is rooted in hope, and therefore it produces holiness. And husbands, you're not getting off the hook here. Look at verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. See, husbands, love your wives, live with them, treat them with such respect, because you are heirs together in the grace of life. That's hope. And the hope then says you should be holy in the way that you live. Few more verses. Chapter 4, verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. How fun is this, huh? Chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Hope, 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 hope. We're almost done here. Therefore, be self-controlled, sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Keep loving one another. See, because of the hope, pursue holiness, he says again. Chapter 4, verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. Hope, 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 while doing good. Holiness, holiness, holiness. Chapter 5, verse 4. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive, this is for elders, the unfading crown of glory. Do well, pursue holiness, elders, because of the hope. The hope when the shepherd appears. And then finally, chapter 5, verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Hope, 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 hope. Will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hope leading to holiness. Wow. Whew. I'm excited, man. You see how rich 1 Peter is? And that's where we get to go. Are you convinced now how much hope there is in this letter? And how much, again, this is what's missing in the church so much, man. It's missing. It's like, because of the hope, bam, holiness, right? Right? You don't see the hope and stay still. The whole point is, if you've been saved, I'm getting ahead of myself now, but the whole point is you will grow in holiness because you love God so much, because he's loved you so much. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you will take this series and you will absolutely transform us. Oh God, I pray. Oh Lord, we love you. I'm so blessed by your word. I'm so blessed by your Holy Spirit leading us to greater things. And you speak to us, oh God. The hope and holiness, they cannot be separated. Would you so refine us in our thinking and our love, Lord, to see the appreciation of the gospel, what you've given us and what you call us to. It's so rich. It's so powerful. It's so awesome, Lord. We look to you now and need you in every way. Again, take this series, take this letter, take your word, take our lives, and may it glorify you, Lord. Every man, every woman, every child, I pray in this church. In Jesus' name, you agree? Amen. Amen. All right, let's get this holiness to hope train started. All aboard? Ready to jump on board? Here we go. Two verses to start in our series. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. You might be tempted just to say, oh, it's a greeting. I'll skip over that. And No. This is packed with hope and holiness. I want to show that to you. Look at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. I love this. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Okay, here's point number one. My destination is hope. Straight up, not getting fancy. I just want us to see this right off the bat. This is the starting for this letter. It's the beginning of hope and holiness. My destination is hope. Now, when we talk about hope biblically, remember, this isn't a, look up here, this isn't a, oh, I hope, cross your fingers thing. Biblical hope is absolute 100% guaranteed certainty. Hope is glory. Hope is guaranteed in Jesus Christ. Hope is salvation. So when we speak of our destination, we're speaking of heaven, of glory, of realized salvation. We are speaking of eternal life. And this is the destination of all people who know Jesus Christ truly and genuinely. This is why Jesus Christ came to give us life and to have life abundantly, which is our hope in him. Peter starts off in this letter. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Well, the word apostle generally means sent one or messenger. But there's deeper meaning here. Do you know that in the New Testament, there's no office that carries this phrase? For instance, we never read teachers of Jesus Christ. We never read prophets of Jesus Christ. We never read evangelists of Jesus Christ. What we only find here in the New Testament is apostles of Jesus Christ, which does what? It highlights the authority invested in them, the disciples, the apostles that Jesus gathered around himself. So when Peter writes this letter to these churches in these Roman provinces, what he's doing is, I have been sent by the Lord himself, and I come with an authority that is unparalleled. In humility, but in reverence and incredible power, he says, basically, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, the words I'm about to write, you must consider to be the very words of God. This isn't just me talking over coffee. This is the Holy Spirit working through me to write something. He's saying, these are the very words of God, and this is the message of eternal life. So right away, his audience is to say, wow, this is a big deal. Peter has been commissioned by the Lord himself to equip and to build the church up. And now God is giving him the authority to write his words down for the blessing of the hope and the holiness of the church. And notice how Peter here wastes no time getting to the theme of life and hope. In verse 1, he says, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now the names there are, again, Roman provinces in Asia, just south of the Black Sea, mostly in modern Turkey. The order of these provinces is probably the route that the letter courier took to get there. We don't know for sure, but that's what they assume or predict is why they're listed in this order. Let's just get a map, because who likes maps in the room? Anyone likes maps? Maps? I'm a big fan of maps. I love maps. You have to bear with me here, okay? So this is in the back of your Bible probably for sure. But here are the provinces, Roman provinces that Peter is writing to, then Asia, Bithynia, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Pontus, all right? So just to get our bearings and where we are, and some of you have been there personally, this is quite exciting. This is who Peter is thinking of as he addresses, again, this letter of 1 Peter, all right? So from there now we see in the phrase of verse 1, which is so important here, which is just packed, he says this, to the elect exiles of the dispersion. Now you may not see it, but there's hope all throughout this phrase. Let me show you. Look at the word elect. The word elect occurs 22 times in the New Testament. It always refers to God's chosen ones. To be among the elect means that you've been granted immense privilege and blessing. To be part of God's elect means you are part of God's family. If you have any confusion with the word elect, it's only confirmed in verse 2 with the phrase, according to the foreknowledge of God. What Peter is doing here, really, he's blasting them. He's drenching them with comfort. He's telling them the reality of their hope. So just think, to be part of God's elect means you are part of God's family, means you are God's child, means you have total assurance and beautiful certainty as to your destination. To be part of God's elect means there's nothing accidental about your life. Even better, there is zero doubt as to where you're headed. Within these phrases, what Peter does to the elect exiles, he's demonstrating how much God loves them and cares for them as a father. He is saying to them, God has chosen you, God has got you, God will completely, as in Philippians 1:6, what God has started, he will finish. So Peter here, in one word, as the elect, Peter is assuring believers, God's affection upon you is eternal. He's saying, my children, take heart, hold on to hope, because what God has started, he will finish. You are literally an adopted child of God. You are part of his family. That's why you are addressed as the elect. What Jesus Christ has, none will be snatched. No sheep of his will be lost. Everyone that the Father gives them, Jesus says, will not be cast out. I will have them, and they will be secure. Peter says this right now, and you are here, and you are a child of God, and you love the Lord. You are part of God's elect, and that means you are not going anywhere. This means you are safe and secure in the Father's arms, as hard as life might get. The promise and the doctrine of the selection is so beautiful because it allows you to understand in chapter 1, verse 4 of 1 Peter, that you have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. You see, the doctrine of election comes under fire sometimes, but it is a doctrine that is intensely comforting for the believer in Jesus Christ. It is intensely loving upon us as well, as we understand the hope that it brings. This is what we hold on to. The more we look at our lives and our own little details, the more we get in despair. But the more we look up to understand the doctrine that has saved us, then the more we are filled with the picture and the faith and the hope of where God is bringing us to. But there's more hope here. Peter really gives a two-word sermon. He says, elect exiles. And when he says exiles here, the word exile always refers to a temporary resident in a foreign place. A temporary resident in a foreign place. But Peter's not talking about earthly stuff here. He's not saying you used to live over in this province, now you've been located into this province and you kind of miss your home. He's not talking about their physical homeland. Peter here means it in a spiritual sense. He means it that their true homeland is in heaven. This is why the NIV translates exile as strangers in the world. New American Standard Version translates we are aliens. New King James Version says we are pilgrims. Pilgrims to a greater destination. This is why in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, he says, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, because this is not your home. Loved ones, this earth is not your home. Amen? Amen? And listen, listen, this body is not your real body. This is called an earth suit. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else wake up this morning again going, anyone else or just me? Just me? Every morning I seem to wake up and I'm just like, I'm groaning for my body that's glorified in Jesus Christ. The earth is groaning for its redemption from Jesus Christ. Everything around us is aging and aching. Everything is decaying and dying. Everything eventually will be put into the ground except for, this is awesome truth. The only thing that is not literally getting older and dying is the soul of the believer in Jesus Christ. We are being renewed day by day, the Bible says. Just think about that. Think about that. Even a flower that grows up, it's going to age and die. Our bodies are wasting away, but what's within us in Jesus Christ, our souls, are literally becoming newer and newer and being transformed to the image of Jesus Christ from one degree of glory to another. That is an awesome truth of theology. And this is where we are. We don't feel like it physically, but spiritually we are to be rejoicing in what is happening within us as God calls us to things that are greater. See what Peter's doing from the very first verse? He's like, your destination is hope. He's like, you're having hard times, man. Things are really tough. He's like, elect exiles. A two-word sermon that says, boom, hope. Hope is everywhere. I hope you're starting to believe me that perspective is everywhere in Scripture. It's because it's everything. So my destination is hope, and now this, my direction is holiness. My direction is to be holiness. So look at verse 2 now. He says this, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. Now, okay, how's that for a theologically packed greeting? Maybe I should start my emails this way, huh? Hey, think about that. Think about it. It's beautiful theology. And it's so beautiful to the heart that is so hungry. Don't ever forget, loved ones, doctrine is glorious. Doctrine, when you understand verse 2 and you apply it to your life, you will be humbled and you will be transformed in the love of God and a love for God. Notice here, it says the foreknowledge of God. That speaks to the past aspect of our salvation. What Peter's saying there, this is the love of God everywhere. Peter is saying here, before you were even born, God's fatherly love was placed upon you. So just try to think about that. I mean, that just really starts to hurt my head. God is sovereign over salvation. We are responsible, the Bible teaches us to respond to the gospel, but God is sovereign in election according to the foreknowledge. This isn't God looked ahead in the future and saw that you would choose him, so he chose you. Salvation is completely within God. This is his love was placed upon you before you even existed. Boom. It's awesome. I don't fully get it. And I'll never fully get it. But I do fully love it. He goes, according to the foreknowledge of God, past aspect of salvation, he says, but now the sanctification of the Spirit. And the sanctification of the Spirit now speaks to the present work of salvation in us as believers. Some of you are like, sanctification? What is what? Sanctification is essentially becoming more like Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful theological term that says we are increasingly becoming free from the power of sin. And we are increasingly becoming more like Jesus Christ. So he says, when you've been saved and called to hope, you are now called on the highway of holiness towards sanctification. If you've truly been justified in Jesus Christ, you've truly been saved, you must now be sanctified by the Spirit of God and start the journey of being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You do not start and do not continue. If you're genuinely starting, you are continuing to go down the path of looking like Jesus Christ. It's very challenging for us, as it should be. And this is the doctrine that is so beautiful, because do you see what sanctification leads to in verse 2? Look at what's next. To obedience to Jesus Christ. The doctrine of election, the foreknowledge of God, the sanctification of the Spirit, and the outworking of that is the obedience to Jesus Christ. So when I put sanctification of the Spirit and obedience to Jesus Christ together, and I mix it up and put it in the oven, and I take it out, what's cooked? It's holiness, man. It comes out holiness.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. You can also write us at any time in Canada at 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, Canada, L6L6X9. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.